This is the 1UP Sales Development Podcast, a podcast made by SDRs for SDRs. This one goes out to all the hustlers on the phones, each and every day, slugging it out. If you're new and you need help with cold calling, I got you.
Hey, Bob, may I have 27 seconds just to explain the reason for my call?
And you can decide if we should continue or not. Personalization with relevancy.
I got you.
Hey, Bob, I noticed you have a lovely garden and you love to grow plants. Incidentally, what are you doing today to grow your sales team? Overcoming objections.
I got you.
Hey, Bob, the last thing I like to do is send over information that's irrelevant. To narrow this down, I'd like to ask you a few questions. Would that be all right? How to extract information and make friends with gatekeepers.
I got you.
Hey, Sally, I'm not even sure if Bob's the right person I should be speaking to. Would it be alright if I explain the reason for my call and perhaps maybe you can help?
We're in it to win it.
Better together. SDRs unite!
I'm your host, Jackson Lil.
Everyday practitioner.
From the front lines for the front lines.
To the game, baby.
Practice what you preach.
Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the 1UP Sales Development Podcast. This is the 12th day of Christmas, drop number 11, and it's coming in hot. My man, my boy, my dude, Mr. Matthew Roberts. Matthew Roberts started out as a senior SDR over at Chili Piper. And we all know what's up with Chili Piper is that calendar marketing automation tool that reroutes you to the specific team so you can help streamline the process and, more importantly, get it to the right person at the right time. And congratulations on that too. Recently, they just got funded recently with a Series A on 18 mil. Looking hot. Glad to see the team is growing very, very, very fast and very well. I remember when it first started, it was about like just 30, 40 employees, and now they had 100 plus. And that's the great thing about tech and SaaS, baby. Grow fast. So what I really love about Mr. Matthew is that this guy is a great SDR manager. He takes care of those around him, and then he gives the constant feedback, but he's always, always, always there to help up-level the team. So the few key takeaways that he shared with us over here on the 1UP Sales Development Podcast is just how much is enough. We're in a COVID situation, we're in a pandemic, a lot of people was affected, and a lot of people lost their jobs. But, you know, if it was 2018 and you're an SDR prospect for the job, you would get countless of hits. But if you were to do it now, it's now noise. So just how much is enough?
A lot of times they look kind of similar, because I'm going to say like this omni-touch approach is really, really good when done right. But when it's not done right, it comes off as almost like too much and can almost hurt you.
And of course, Matthew stick to the main core fundamentals, whereas sometimes people tend to get lost. When you're an SDR and BDR out there and you're hungry for money, you're desperate, you would do almost anything just to get the role. But really, sometimes it comes down, you really just gotta look for the right company.
People should really work for a company that they think is a good fit for them, rather than just look for a job.
So sometimes when you're new or you're tenure and you're starting with a new company, you kind of think a little bit too much. When you think too much right off the bat, you get all these automatic negative thoughts. You know, I can't do it. It's not for me. People's going to look at me. This response is not going to get the open rate. I'm not going to get the reply that I want. Sometimes you just got to fucking do it. And no one says it better than my boy, Matthew Roberts.
A big part of the SDR job is like just fucking jump in and go for it.
Haha, for fuck's sakes, babe, that's my boy, M. Roberts. So if there's anyone out there who's looking for a job, or if you're applying for Chili Piper, here's a pro tip for you. Get him a cigar or whiskey, you know, stalk his IG, because that's how I got him to get on this episode. No, I'm just kidding. Yo, Matthew, thanks a lot for coming on this episode, man. I truly appreciate you. Love the relationship we got going on. Let's keep it going. And stay safe and Merry Christmas, brother. Cheers. Yay, yay. And of course, oh yeah, if there's anyone on here listening that knows any company who's currently facing any sort of revenue challenges or churn, head over to Better Growth for a free consultation today. This broadcast is brought to you by Better Growth, a software consultancy that helps companies reduce churn, increase adoption, and improve revenue generation. So if you're not confident in your plan to increase revenue in 2021, and by increased revenue, I mean by renew existing accounts, add new logos, or expand revenue from your sold base, head over to www.bettergrowth.com for your free consultation today. Merry Christmas, fellas. All right. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the 1UP Sales Development Podcast. This is a real one, guys. This is a real one. I had this guy on my radar for quite some time. Had to wait and nurture him for a while. The time's right. Found a new channel. Hit him up. IG for those who are looking to do the same. You want to reach out to people and you want to break out the noise where it's not so noisy and you can really collaborate with them. And it's funny, this guy actually interviewed me a while back too as well. Although it didn't go where we all wanted to go, definitely not his fault. And you know, everything happens, works out the way it is. But I'm glad we kept in touch and kept the professional friendship and relationship that we have today. And this guy came from the local area too as well. You know, he's very smart and strategic. Very hardworking, works his way up the ranks. So he's been in the game for quite some time now. He's actually a co-founder of Pear, which we'll break into a few moments too as well. He actually started his day as an SDR over at my case. AE roll up in there, start over at senior SDR over at Chili Piper, which congratulations, by the way, with a motherfucking series. Hey! Now SDR manager, please give us a warm welcome for the one and only Mr. Matthews Roberts.
Thanks for having me, Jackson. That's quite the intro. I don't think there'll be anything better than that for the rest of the podcast.
Hey, Matthew, welcome to the show, man. So stoked that you're open and happy to do this, man. I wanted to have you on the show. I know we stabbed at it a while back and it took quite some time, but finally to see that, you know, you're back on and here you are.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me. And it's funny that you brought up the different channels and Instagram, because we just had a training last Friday about multi-channel approach and omni-channel. And the big part of that conversation was you have to find where your prospect or where your customer, whoever it is that you need to talk to, where they like to, you know, actually have that conversation. So for me, phone calls, I'm never going to pick up a phone call in my life. Email, maybe. It's got to be amazing to check it. Instagram, DM me. I'm there all day.
There it is. Hey, so to all you SDR and BDRs listening right now, if you want to reach out and you want to sell to this guy, there's the secret sauce. Reach out to him on IG. The only challenge is I'm just kidding, guys. Oh, man. So, Matthew, welcome to the One Up Sales Development Podcast, man. Love everything you do and all the content that you push out to as well. So, for those who are listening to right now, you're over at Chili Piper. Can you go and just give us a walkthrough of what's Chili Piper, you know, vision and goal? What is it that you guys do?
Yeah, good question. So right now, like you mentioned, we just raised our Series A, $18 million. What we're pushing out right now for like the tagline, the hashtag, all those things is we're inbound revenue acceleration platform. So really what that means is, you know, more than ever, revenue teams really need to be connecting with inbound leads instantly. So that's what we're talking about, like instant inbound. So speed to lead is giant. You know, someone comes in, they're interested in your product, they fill out your demo form. It used to take 5 minutes, best case scenario, for someone to get back to you. A lot of times it's 24 hours, it's 2 days, it is what it is. And you know, like 70% of people are going to go buy the first person that comes back to them, because you have your competitors, everyone's out there, you know, pretty similar products a lot of the times. So when you go out and you want to solve a problem, you get a demo from 7-8 different places. If you connect with that person instantly, you have such a bigger advantage in closing that deal. We actually just had a webinar today, our first webinar, hosted by Jason Oakley, who's a badass on our team. And he shared, you know, just a little bit of an analogy where it's like you come up to buy something at the tool store at Home Depot. You're looking around. You might wait 5 minutes. You might wait 10 minutes. But like, are you going to wait 2 days? No. You're going to go to the next store that has those tools and you're going to get the tools there. So really what we're doing is, you know, connecting people instantly to their you know, prospects or their buyers, pushing drop-off numbers, you know, taking connection rates from a lead to 70 and 80% instead of 20 and 30% like we see normally in the industry. And with that same amount of inbound leads that people are getting, they're, you know, 300 and 400% increasing their revenue. So that's really what we're doing. The future looks pretty bright, pretty excited. And for what's to come, I mean, who knows? Maybe in 3 years, I can retire with a yacht. You never know.
If that isn't an intro, good, great value prop, you guys, I don't know what is. Matthew, man, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Chili Piper. Yo, when I first started out my days, 2018 at Brick Street, whatever, I remember that's when I just started listening to podcasts and shit. And I started hearing like, hey, remote teams. It's like remote teams. And it wasn't like a popping thing at the time, you know? And that's when Chili Piper kept popping up. And then your boy Nate Branscombe popped up. And then it's just Chili Piper. Very cool. Very to be probably, you know, the first team that I would imagine that came upon that. It's like that believes in true full remote. And I know there's a lot of other companies out there that does that. You know, like I know Tito like LT Sales, and what's the other, there's another company out there that does full remote too as well that serves to people, developers.
Like GitHub or something like that.
Yeah.
There's other big ones. Yeah.
Yeah. GitLab.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Chili Piper has always been awesome, and I've been following you guys closely, man. And dude, congratulations on the Series A.
Yeah. Thank you. It was exciting. The biggest bummer, and it sounds hilarious because in context, it's nothing, but obviously in this COVID scenario that everyone's in, the most exciting thing to look forward to working at Chili Piper is when we all get to meet up and just celebrate and have a good time together, because we're completely distributed, like you mentioned. But it's not just the United States. It's, you know, we're worldwide. We have people in Brazil. We have people in Romania, like all over the world. So we always look forward to getting together and really celebrating. And then it's, you know, we have a massive milestone like this. Last time we had a milestone, we went to Spain and partied for a week straight, and everyone got to hang out. And the team was like 35 people by then. And now we're at 50 plus range, and everyone really wanted to celebrate together, but that's, you know, not possible. But luckily Nicholas and Alina are very, very innovative and love to have fun. So they made up for it and gave everyone a little bit of money to go experience a celebration in their own way. And you know, something that was nearby. So it's actually attainable rather than no one has to get on a plane to fly anywhere. But so yeah, very exciting times. Just wish that the team could come together and really, you know, hang out and have a good time and get to know each other as humans rather than just coworkers.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's awesome. Nicholas, that's a great guy. Huh? I remember my experience with him too. He loves to reread this psychology book or something like that. He mentions it on his profile too. I think that's really nice of him, how he goes. And you know, that's pretty crazy the world we live in, right? First you guys are like, hey, we're fully remote, fully distributed. It's like, all right, can't wait for this yearly thing comes out. And then this COVID happens. It's like, well, we've been doing that. So for being such a real nice, awesome person, he comes back and says, hey, Matthew, look, we're still gonna celebrate some awesome way. Here's some cheese. Make sure you slack it. I mean, I'm not sure what this, but that's pretty much the concept, letting you know that, hey, we're here. We still want you guys to have fun. Keep the culture going, you know?
Exactly. Like three of our values here, you know, it's innovate, have fun, and help. And they push the have fun very hard. And in this, you know, environment, the innovation comes in weird ways sometimes. And so this is being here. Yeah, everyone has allocated some cash. Use it for an experience, you know, and no one, you can't go out and buy a coat or a car or something, but use it with something, you know, ones you love, your friends, your family, and really like enjoy and celebrate this in the fashion that, you know, fits you. And so it was very, very cool, very exciting. But I know that we're all excited for the Series B when we can come together then, eventually in the future, and yeah, and really party.
Hashtag money. Hey, Matthew, since I have you here, so I want to pick your brain real quick. I'm a big fan of Chili Piper, man. You know, I just started a new role too. I haven't got it yet, but it's on the radar. And when it does happen, I'll be sure to let you know. So big fan of Chili Piper, man. Like you could, it's like candy, right? You could, hey, here's a link to my calendar. Boom, boom, boom. But what would you say or consider like a few best practices for those who are listening who doesn't have any calendar solution right now? And I'll give her an instance. So right now running outbound. Okay, I don't have a counter, but what I really liked about it when I was using it is that you get to pick, you get to open up the Chili Piper real quick of your calendar. You get to pick a specific day and time that you can propose inside the message, and they can click it like it's a multiple choice test. What would you say is like, did you find effective as when going outbound using that?
I mean, I think the biggest like value there is it makes things simple. Like there's what the acronym KISS, like keep it simple, stupid. And a lot of that is the back and forth of trying to figure out a time that works. That's eliminated. Hey, you know, here's a few options, or here, click on my calendar and find some time. It's still, you're putting it on like the prospect, you're putting on the customer to, okay, I have to do this. Keep it simple, stupid. Boom. Here's like seven times that work. Like you said, looks like a multiple choice. There's just some big numbers there, some big times, some dates. You click on it, boom, everything right there is automated. All your Salesforce, you know, backend stuff done, the reminders are set up. So now, you know, a day before that meeting, they're getting a reminder. An hour and a minute before the meeting, they're getting a reminder if they haven't accepted the invite. So basically it's just, you're taking out all of this back and forth, and you're taking out all of this manual and labor that every other SDR position I've ever had or teams I've been on where you're like, following up with people and sending all these times and getting confused. It just eliminates all that. And then on the next level, it's if I'm handing off that, you know, you want to go talk to my AE now, I don't have to look at his calendar and do this stuff. I don't have to find out who it is that it goes to based on territory or size or you know, if someone's on vacation on the AE end, I just can click a button. It's going to automatically assign me to that right AE. I get their calendar, I click a button. It's just simplifying everything. And that's, you know, the whole point, I think, of technology is really automating and optimizing your time as a person and your workflow. So that's what we've done, and that's what we're continuing to do. And so it's definitely, coming from a tech sales background, I found Chili Piper when I was looking for a new job, and I was looking for a remote position and a lot of remote work, especially back then, you know, in early 2018, it was not a lot of it looked super interesting or like a very good product, but Chili Piper is the one that stuck out. And I said, okay, this would have helped so much at every single one of my positions. Like, what a cool tool. I want to work here.
Nice. Nice. Dude, I love that. And just like you said, speed to lead is the way to go. Eliminating the back end process, right? Automating things rather than, and people live and die by, you know, outbound sales, no fluff, has this thing called buckets too. Hey, 4, 3, 2, 1, right when you wake up, bucket number 4, whoever's schedule, you better reach out. Hey man, looking forward to chatting. And Chili Piper just drops that all the way automatically. And that's the way you do it. Matthew, I'm curious. So I want to get to know you a little bit better on a personal level. You're in Sacramento. Where did you grow up? Where did you come from?
So I grew up in Chico, California, which is about an hour and a half north of Sacramento. I went to high school there. You know, my whole life was in Chico. Then I left to go to UC Santa Barbara for school. Loved it, best place on earth. Could never say enough good things about being in that area and going to that school and all the friends I made, and most amazing experience by far. It's the best decision I've ever made. And then once that was done, I actually studied film in college. So I did film and media studies with an emphasis on screenwriting. So that's kind of as far away from tech sales as you can get. And from that point, I went down to Los Angeles and started working in the film industry. So I worked as like a production assistant on music videos. I worked for like American Idol. I did a bunch of really cool, fun freelance stuff, but I just didn't see myself living in LA long-term. And from that point I realized, okay, I gotta do something else. I can't be here. And all my friends that were still in Santa Barbara started working at Procore and Appfolio and all these, you know, tech companies that were starting up in Santa Barbara in that area. And so one of my best friends, Chris Bustos, who's at Factory 4 now really, really smart kid. He had just started like an SDR position at my case, which was owned by Appfolio as their legal firm software instead of their property management. And he was like, I think I can get you an interview if you want to, you know, apply here. And I just had moved back. I was working like a winery, pouring wine and just talking to Santa Barbara elite people. And it was a good gig, but it was ready for me to take that next step into like a real career big boy job. So I did it. And you know, that's kind of where my whole career started from, was just taking a job opportunity from a friend that had started there. And then once I got there, I absolutely loved the like culture of a sales team. Everyone always said like, oh yeah, you'd be a good salesman or whatever. Cause I think I'm just like a personable person and I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy learning about people. And once I was there, I was like, okay, I get this sales thing. Like the whole team was like, you know, back in high school, you're on a sports team or a fraternity or whatever it is. Like where there's a group of people that y'all have a common interest or a common goal or something. I just really felt that and had so much fun and I had a great manager. Motivated us every day, and she's still like a good friend of mine that I reach out to all the time. And and then I guess the rest is history.
Nice. I love that. Hey, I just want to take a step back on that real quick, take a stab at that. And you know, you're absolutely right. So you used to like pour wine for the quote unquote elite of Santa
Cruz. The elites.
And that and to do that, to be successful at that, you really gotta know how to posture yourself and position yourself, right? And you gotta say, hey, nice to meet you. My name is Matthews. I'm here to help you out. Maybe perhaps down the road, you can help me out. And it's just like pouring the wine, knowing your knowledge. And it's also sales, because if you're pouring wine, I'm sure they're going to be asking you all these questions. And you'll probably have to do some type of qualifications and just really selling yourself before you sell them anything. Really, it's like, hey, you know, Matthew, nice to meet you. What brings you in? Oh, what kind of wine you like? Do you prefer eating red meat or seafood? Oh, based on what you told me, this is what I recommend, and here's why. And I think that would pretty, set you up for, would you say that kind of helped you out too, where you're at today?
Absolutely. And it's great that you bring up that point, because I mean, before that, I was actually like when in college, I was working as a server and a bartender at like a high-end resort in Santa Barbara. So we had celebrities and we had, you know, millionaires that would come from LA. And so we'd meet all these people. But just like you said, it teaches you, you know, there's the tactic of like mirroring, right? So if you're mirroring a prospect, so you're like following along kind of the way, maybe their speech pattern, or if they use a lot of lingo like this, or if they talk very, 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 you know, straightforward, whatever it is, you use that. And it's the same kind of stuff that you would do if you're serving or you're a bartender or you're pouring wine, because you want to, one, connect with them so that they don't hate you and have a terrible experience, but also like they're going to give you a tip, and that's where the majority of your money's coming in. And the more that they can connect with you, obviously service is very important, but like part of the service is just that relationship that they have with you. So you learn a lot about, okay, yes, you always present yourself in a certain way. And the second that, you know, maybe they start to cuss or something, then maybe you start to cuss a little bit. Or, I mean, obviously don't become someone that you're not, but if you put on the show, like for me, I'm a very, very laid back. I just kind of, you know, I like to talk to people like I know them and they're my friend. But in the context of that, when you're, you know, it's someone who's a celebrity, like you can't come at them like that. You have to come with the proper, like, hey, I'm here at a high-end resort, that mentality. But the second that they kind of open up with you, you open up with them. And then, like you said, it really, I think it does build a lot of that skill that is necessary in sales, which is just is mirroring your prospect or your customer or whoever it is, and making sure that everyone is like comfortable and trust each other as quickly as possible without coming on too strong and anything like that. And I think that's why a lot of people that I know, and just in general, like a lot of their first sales jobs, you can hire a lot of people that are bartenders or in the service industry, because you're also helping them. You are someone who's there to help. You're good at listening, because if you don't listen, you're probably gonna get yelled at by them. That's very similar. Like a cold call is like, you know, serving someone the wrong drink or something. Like it can get scary. So you have to, you know, learn to be a good listener and to really mirror the prospect or the guy buying a drink.
Oh man, I love that. I love that, man. Thank you for sharing. And you know, me makes me sound like we're super good friends already. I feel comfortable with you already. No, but you're absolutely right. I love that. You know, mirroring each other and finding common ground. Like, hey, thanks for coming. I'm here too. Or you know, you're cold calling. Hey, Matthew, would it be all right if I explained the reason for my call? And then just really listening. And then if they're a jokester, start joking around. And I'll joke around.
Exactly.
Or if you start like how I see you making old fashioned and laugh a little bit, and I'll start laughing with drinking some old fashioned too, but finding calming, breaking through the noise and making it feel comfortable and having a real true conversation, you know?
Exactly. I mean, that's all sales is at the end of the day. There's like a statistic, I'm not going to make it up, but maybe I will. 70% of the business was done like in bars, you know, before 1850. So it's like, business, it should be like, yeah, of course it has to be professional, and of course it has to all make sense. Like, there's so many other factors, but at the end of the day, it's all just like, are you comfortable with them? Can you talk to them? You have a conversation and you're just kind of hanging out, and there's a transaction that's going on along the way, but it doesn't have to be, you know, business suit and tie, all that. Like, there's people who make, you know, $1 million transactions and they do it, you know, by poolside, hanging out over a cocktail. Like, things like that happen. I think a lot of people think that it doesn't work that way, but I guess my big mentality on it is, like, don't be a robot. You know, be yourself, be a person, figure out the best way to talk to the person that you're trying to talk to, and never be, you know, overly pushy and all that kind of stuff. Just really try to get to understand them and, like, what they're trying to solve or what you can help with, and then pick the sale from there.
Yep, I love that. So let's stop at this. Don't be a robot, right? And this is, I love this, man. This is where I want to pick your brain at. So Matthew, you're an SDR manager right now. I'm sure you've interviewed countless of candidates, man. What are a few things a candidate can do to not be a robot?
That's a great question. So, I mean, like, to be completely honest and blunt, we do, and I'm 100% sure it's the same when you interviewed, like the video, right? There's a video beforehand. So we ask a few questions, you do the interview. The second that you can see someone, their eyes are scanning and they're reading, if everything is just like, you wrote out, you know, paragraphs on the answers questions and you're reading, it's just like, I don't know, you know, I want a person. I don't even know what your personality is like. I don't know who you are. I just know that you read something and maybe you have great writing skills, but just be you, you know? So to not stand out and not be a robot, like, show your personality, have energy, you know, be well-spoken, but not, you know, robotic. There's a big difference between that, I think. But I'd say, like, really, it's like the energy that comes out of someone, you can tell. And then really other than that, it's just, you know, being sharp, but being also, like, approachable and friendly and someone that you know, there's what the beer test or something that they've talked about before, where it's like, would you have a beer with this person? Like, do you want to actually, like, do you want to have a conversation with this person? Is this someone that you'd like to speak with? Or is this someone where you might be like, I don't, you know.
Yeah, he's just sitting there, I am a robot. Oh, man, I love that. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. So, and that's a great tactic, too. And I can imagine you guys save a lot of amount of time, too, from, hey, you know what? You want to rock with this company, send a video doing this and that. And, you know, just seeing him scanning through the eyes and stuff like that. I was like, hey, man, peace.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that, because my roommate, she actually does a lot of hiring for her company. And she still does the, like, 15-minute little call, like, for all the candidates that, like, you know, pass based on their resume, and it takes up so much time. And not to say that that's not a, you know, a good way to do it, but it's just so much easier to ask a few questions, have a 4 or 5 minute video, really get to know who they are before you take it to that next step. And after she's seen it happen a few times here, she's like, oh, maybe we should do that. And I was like, I think you should. It's a great use of time, and it's also fun because myself and Scott Haney, he watches, you know, all the videos as well for the most part, but I'll walk my dog and have headphones in, and I'll watch these videos, and, you know, 30 minutes later I've knocked out 6 of them, and it's just, like, a really nice way to do it rather than have to call and be focused. You feel like you can kind of get to know them in a quick amount of time.
Nice. I love it. Oh yeah, man. Scott too, dude. Hey Scott, if you ever listening to this, shout out to you, brother. I know we connected with him. Like, cool guy, man. Haven't
chatted, brilliant,
but yeah, Scott. My man, Scott makes
the gears turn around every single day at Chili Piper. We were joking. Yeah. if we bought a yacht, he'd be the captain, the server, the bartender, the oh, you know,
the master.
Guys shoveling coal into the pipes, and, you know, outside scrubbing the bow, making it look pretty. He does all of it.
Nice. You bet. Hey, so Matthew, that's the SDR manager. I want to stab at his pretty brain. Like, everyone, here's how I see it. I see a lot of, so I interview a lot of SDR managers over at 10 Bound and stuff too, for leaders. And what I noticed, mm-hmm, that everyone has a different preferences, a different mindset. Most of them are pretty aligned, but what I see is some of it has different, what they would like to see when it comes to a rep. Like, I'm curious to pick your brain. Let's say there's an SDR, BDR right now listening, or someone who wants to get in the game, right? And just said, all right, you know what? I'm going to start applying for a few companies. Like, what kind of advice can you give them to make them pop and stand out? Even though it's someone with no experience, I just graduated, I'm 20, I'm 22, I have no sales experience. What are a few things you can do to help them, give them, in terms of advice, to help them, like, pop, if that makes sense?
That's a Yeah, no, that's a great question. So whenever we have some sort of like announcement, right, we always get an influx of people applying, which is just, it's obvious. So like, this is very, very relevant because of the Series A announcement, and next thing you know, everyone's emails are flooded. Even SDRs are getting hit up on LinkedIn. And especially just in this environment right now, there's so many people who need a job who just got laid off. So it's like, we see this every single day. And what I can say is, it's just like prospecting, right? It's just like trying to get in front of someone to sell your product. It's your, you know, the product is yourself to get this job. And there's like a good way to do it, and there's a bad way to do it. And like, a lot of times they look kind of similar, because I'm going to say like, this omni-touch approach is really, really good when done right. But when it's not done right, it comes off as almost like too much, and can almost hurt you. So if you were just to send, you know, a resume in, or just send an application in, maybe that's better than if you sent the application in, you added them on Instagram, you followed them on Twitter, you liked all their posts, you hit them up on LinkedIn with a cadence of, hey, I applied. Hey, I just want to have 15 minutes of your time. Like, that's just too much. It's just the same way as you wouldn't prospect like that, you know, like that's it. But then on the other side of that, if it's done right, it's great. So if I shoot over a resume, maybe I add someone that I think might be the hiring manager on LinkedIn and shoot them a quick note, like, just wanted to connect, like, heard great things, reading great things about your company. And then a cold email that is either really, really well done, or just like a very friendly bump. So it's like, it's a very thin line. Again, like everything that we've, or I've been saying, I always come back to like the thin line, because it just is. And I posted about something, one of our recent hires, Alex Lane. He's the first cold email for a candidacy that I've ever responded to, just because of the way that it was done. It was very, very, like very, it was a very soft ask. There wasn't the, hey, I want 15 minutes of your time. All of them end with that. Like, let me get 30 minutes on your calendar. And it's like, that's just the old way of doing it. Like, Michael Tuso, who you, I think you know as well, and have chatted with, he's a big, I'm not gonna say hater, but he's like, oh man, that's so old school. Like, the 30 minutes of your time, the 15 minutes of your time, like, everyone knows that that's something that salespeople say. Like, that's just a sales thing. So the farther away you can get away from it, I think the better. And just like back to Alex's email, there was no, you know, hey, like, it's like, hey, I don't want to take up too much of your time, and you're swamped. Like, you're getting emails left and right, just like yourself. Like, I'm from the Sac area. And he immediately just kind of drew in some sort of comparison. So I'm looking at it like, okay, this guy's from the Sac area. What is he doing? I'm interested, because now we have a commonality. The next thing he does is, you know, I went to Davis. You know, they say about Davis people, they come with a chip on their shoulder, pure drive to succeed, because we actually went to our backup school after we all got rejected from Berkeley. So boom, now he threw in some comedy. I like him. So just like coming in with, you know, something that's different and stands out, and it isn't, you know, like, hey, I'm going to be your next quota crushing us. Like, try to stand out by saying things and doing things that not everyone else is doing, and do it right. And so if you, you know, send that email and you add me on LinkedIn, and it's not creepy, or it's not just too much, or like, you know, you can tell when people are genuine, and when people are just like, not to say just looking for a job, but you can tell when someone genuinely wants to work for the company rather than they just want a job. There's a big difference, right? And so I think it just comes off in the way that you approach it. But as far as a standout, I'd say just do it the right way and be, you know, I think another big thing is people should really work for a company that they think is a good fit for them, rather than just look for a job. And I know it's just, that might be the worst thing to say right now in this environment when someone doesn't have a job, and I don't want it to come off like, be picky and look for that perfect job. But at the end of the day, like, an interview really is you trying to see if you fit in with them, and them to see if they fit in with you. It's not just like, hey, I want to work here. It's like, do you know enough about, like, ask those questions, get to know the company, get to know their culture, get to know how everything works from bottom up, and see if it's a place that you want to be, you know. And I think you can tell by the outreach that some people give if that's the case, or if it's just they're spamming this out to a bunch of people looking for a job.
Oh my God. There it is. There's a money shot. Price of admission. I don't know what is. Dude, Matthew, that was amazing, man. It was like music to my ears. Shout out to your new hire, by the way. You said his name was Alex. Alex Keen, what was that? Alex?
Alex Lane, yeah.
Alex Lane, nice. What was his soft ask, if you don't mind sharing?
What'd you say? He said, I'm not going to tell you that I'm crazy hungry and I'm willing to outwork every single other candidate. Those things are standard. Instead, I'll tell you I have a unique background. It's going to set me up for success. I would love to hop on and chat if you're available.
Hashtag money. Oh, yeah, that's how you do it. Copywriting right there, man. I love that. Awesome. Congrats to that. Hey, Alex, if you hear this episode, man, shout out to you too. I'm going to connect with you right after this episode. I love that. And, you know, it's funny. It's funny that you brought that up. And the reason why, so, dude, I just got my first SDR prospect for hiring a job too. He did a bump. Some dude, I'm not going to shame him. It's some dude from pre-hired, whatever, right? And it's the same shit, man. Hey.
Yep.
Hey, man. You plus me equals dream team. That's the subject title. I was like, whatever. And I just looked down and scanned. It's just like the same shit. Hey, I train with this. I just love your company. It means everyone, the work that you guys do, which means everyone there has the right mindset. And let's book some time to chat how I could come on board and kill it. Here's a calendar link. And I kid you not, man. I just responded just earlier today. My response was, hey, quote unquote, Bob, for the love and mad respect I have for sales development, I'm responding to your request. I know it's hard out there, but people are sending the same exact messages and you need to break through the noise. In case it helps, here's an article to do a few ways to break through the noise. And I literally sent out my article that I wrote about how to come through the jobs and get that. And I said, P.S., you shouldn't be reaching out to me. You should reach out to the other guy and give him who he should be reaching out to, which is my boy Nico, who brought me on board. But I know exactly what you mean. That shit is just fucking funny, man.
That's awesome that you said that. And I honestly, like, I respect and appreciate that you did the, like, for the love of self-development, like, here. That's something that I always wanted to work on because, one, I'm a big believer in, like, paying it back and doing that stuff. And when I was starting off, when people would say, like, yeah, this is the wrong person, but this is the right person, and I'm only responding to you because I was in your position, like, I always loved that. So I need to be better at it, and that's on me. But that's all good. To the pre-hired thing, I was honestly not even joking. This is a funny coincidence. I was going to make a post yesterday on LinkedIn because we get a ton of them. And I don't know much about it. I haven't looked into it, but because it always bothers me, because I think they're giving them a template and saying, send this to a bunch of people. They have to know that I've seen 70 to 80 pre-hired sales things, and they're all the same thing. And like you said, it's always the same subject line. And I haven't looked into it, and I don't want to cause any problems, but like you said, it's not a pattern break. It doesn't cut through the noise. I immediately see it. And I was going to ask, like, how many people get hired from these things? And that's where, going back to, it can hurt you or can help you if you do it right. If you just send in the resume, you get a video opportunity. I watch the video and I love it. That's great. But if you send that thing and then do the video, I'm already going to have that pre-concept of like, oh, I've already seen this a million times. I don't even want to talk to this person because they're just doing what every single other person is doing. And it's not their fault. It's whatever they're getting told there, or whatever template, whoever's giving them the template, and say, send this to every single person you're applying to. And I know I'm not the only one. Like, that's got to happen all over the place. And so it hurts me that these people are out here trying to get a job and they don't know, because they're being taught that this is the way to do it. And it has to be working, or it had to have worked for them to continue to do it. But now it's just like, man, for like 6 or 7 months, I've seen so much of that. And it's always the same thing. Like you said, I can always tell by the subject line. There's like three different variants of it. And I'm like, okay, that's a pretty hard person. I open it up. Boom, 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 same. And it breaks my heart. Like, it breaks my heart for them. It sucks. And so I was going to post about that and ask questions and see, like, what's going on there. Because, you know, there's people out there who want to work and they're getting bad information in a way.
Okay.
I mean, at least from my perspective, I'm not everybody. Maybe it works. But from my perspective and my opinion and people that I've talked to about it, it's like I can immediately tell, and it rubs people the wrong way.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's crazy, man. You know what? I'm going to stamp this right here for this episode on that. I'm going to stamp it. And what I mean by that is, so I'm not bashing anyone. I'm not talking trash, but I caught some heat, and I'm probably going to catch some heat for this too, but it's because I'm a real guy and I keep it real. And what I mean by that is, this was like back in like January, pre-COVID, you know, pretty hard, cool, I love what you're doing, you're helping them out, and then you're charging them 30 grand to whatever, boot camp, whatever. And I started seeing these patterns because all these people were hitting me up too for like help and contacts and stuff. And I started, and I know two people down here personally in Orange County that took the program itself. And, you know, and they told me about that, whatever, but I dove into it more and I did more research, right? And what really, really, really took me off is I could be wrong, but I really think they admitted some people that shouldn't be admitted. And what I mean by that is there was a senior citizen on there who has a dream. He's a retired veteran, all that stuff. His name is Michael Hoskins on LinkedIn right now. Reached out to him. I tried to help him out too, to help him find a gig. Just didn't work. Old, really like 70, 80 years old. And a conversation came up on MSP. MSP, someone brought up pre-hired. Hey, and just like you, SDR Madrid, he said the same thing. I'm getting 30, 40, 50 apps. These guys are all running the same templates and cadence on me. Does anyone know who this is? What's your experience? Did you hire anyone from pre-hired? I'm not saying that those who went to pre-hired won't be successful. I'm just saying the model that, and the people that admit is sometimes wrong. Because I looked at this old senior citizen, right? Michael Hoskins. And he's like 67 years old. I'm not discriminating against age, but I really believe as an advisor that they should have been. I would have just been like, Matthew, I understand you want to a career change. However, I want to let you know chances are slim. Here's why.
Yeah.
You got to be very techy. You got to be fast. You got to be able to type. And majority of the what the workforce looks like is people who just come in 20, 30 year old. Man, mm-hmm. I caught so much heat from MSP there. People was like, who is this guy? Man, you're age discriminating. SDR doesn't have to always be in there. And I still have the page up in my Gmail, whatever, but I'm going to stamp it. And I really just told them, here's the thing. I don't mean to throw it out there like that, but I really believe they should have not admit some people, because when you benefit more than the others, you're a shark in my eyes. That's what I'm saying.
No, absolutely. And like, I didn't even see that form. I got in there in like February or something. So I don't know if it was before that or not, but I understand exactly where you're coming from, because it seems like they're just taking in money for these things, knowing that like this person's not going to get hired. Like, who's going to take a chance on whatever their age is if like they're that, yeah, like that's such a tough thing to do that it does seem like disingenuous to like truly trying to help and place them. And yeah, that's wild. I didn't know that. That's crazy. But it just feels, yeah, I don't know. And it's like, you can't like, I don't know. Sales is so interesting. Like, the biggest question that I have is, do people coming from these boot camps with zero experience come on and ramp up or do better than someone who, you know, just kind of comes on with nothing? Because I feel like a lot of the people who go in there have the idea that like there's a lack of confidence, maybe. Like, most people, you go into an SDR job, it's like the first job you've ever had. Like, granted, it might have to be for a bigger company. Like, you know, we haven't been in the position until, you know, hopefully sometime down the future where like we can just bring on someone who's never looked at Salesforce, because it's just like, especially in a remote environment, that's so hard to like onboard and do this. So we have to bring on people who know what the hell they're doing, like SDRs from elsewhere. But, you know, when I joined as an SDR at my case in AppFolio, like I didn't know what the hell I was doing. They had to teach me and like I was over my thing, but you have the confidence to like, I'm going to learn this. So I feel like a lot of the people who go to these kind of schools, it's like, oh shit, I don't know where to start. Like, and like a big part of the SDR job is like, just fucking jump in and go for it. Like, you gotta learn. And like, I have a friend who did like a boot camp for developing, and that's the exact opposite story. Like, he learned so much how to be a developer, and now he's like way up in Datadog and he's like crushing it. So it's like, that stuff makes sense. But from like a sales perspective, like, I don't know if you need to apply any and everywhere for that SDR position, but like really want to work there. It's a little bit different right now because of COVID, but like in the past, like, dude, Yelp will hire you. Like, someone's going to hire you and give you a shot because they need like to fill in that, you know, seat so you can get on the phone and start dialing. And that's where you're going to get the experience. You're going to learn. So it's just like, I don't know. I have like,
oh my God, dude, I love that, man. Thank you for that. You know, I wish I had a white claw with you too. But that would have been straight cheers. And again, my boy. and again, like, I'm not talking down. There's people definitely that, you know, do ramp a little bit on it, but what I see is what I agree with you too as well. I really believe that there admit some that shouldn't be admitted. And number two, like, it breaks my heart, and I'll tell you why. That Michael Hoskin guy, he removed that info already, but when at the time his bio is like, I can't wait to join a hyper growing SaaS unicorn company and then become an AE. And after he said that, I connected with him and I tried to help him out too. It just didn't work out. Till this day, he's still not working out. And he decided to take another change. But other than that, that's pretty much just my thoughts, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I think, like I said, I would ask a very similar question in MSP or something similar to that, where it's like, I don't know who's hiring a bunch of the people out of there. Like, obviously, I think the majority of the people that go to any sort of course like that don't usually have any SDR experience at all. So I don't know who's hiring them. And if they do get hired, like, how they perform, like, I have no data or any anecdotal evidence of that at all. It just, to me, it seems interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sucks. So Matthew, I know we went over the time here, but there's something I just want to ask you real quick. And how are you doing on time, by the way? Okay. So
I have like 3 minutes. So,
All right. So just want to talk about Pear real quick. And I remember this probably just clicked back to me. You're a mental health kind of advocate guy. Talk to us about that. And what's your mission there, man?
So Pear was started, stands for positive engagement and response. It started as a physical card game. It was like, Cards Against Humanity, but we called it Cards for Humanity because it was talking positively about yourself, about the people you're with. And we thought it would be a fun drinking game. It turned into like really getting into the mental health space, into schools, education, like therapy, all that, which was so cool, very rewarding. We started getting involved in schools and like having essentially like after school and before school programs, trying to find, you know, any sort of issues that kids have with, you know, talking about themselves and talking positively about others. And then COVID hit. So like, it's been very, very mellow lately. We're supposed to start an app for it. It's just, I've just been so slammed with Chili Piper stuff that's been hard to do it. But the whole idea is really be comfortable in your skin, be open, be honest, appreciate, you know, other people, appreciate yourself, always look for the positive in things, and you know, just kind of enjoy your time here on earth. Like, that's really the end of the day, is just have a good time and make relationships and connections with other people and enjoy it. You know, like, things come and go, life's a roller coaster. We're in a weird time right now and have been for months now, but eventually one day it should get better, and it will get better, and hopefully everyone is better for it too.
Nice. I love that, man. Thank you for sharing. And is that a hat you're wearing too? Is that a pair of hat you were wearing?
Yeah. I always wear a hat.
Hey, I always
wear a hat.
Where can I get one of that, bro? You gotta sell the hat?
You gotta DM me on Instagram. That's my channel.
All right. So Matthew Roberts, let's wrap this up here. If there's anyone who want to reach out to you, say thank you, you know, for all your knowledge bombs and things like that, what's the best way to reach out to you?
You can get me at Matthew with 2 T's at chilipiper.com or on LinkedIn, Matthew Roberts at Chili Piper.
All right, you guys. And that wraps up for the 1UP Sales Development Podcast. Matthew, thank you so much for hopping on. We truly appreciate you, man.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you having me, and I appreciate your hustle. And like I said, I think a big part of the podcast is really, you know, the drive, the energy, the passion, the hustle, and you have all of those. And I'm excited to see you continue to bring on way more, you know, I'd say valuable, but people with a lot more experience and a lot more knowledge bombs. And maybe one day I'll be back and I'll have learned from all the things that they've said and they've done, and I can share even more.
You're just as good, brother. One love, baby. One heart.